Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you open your mind, not only will it open the doors to new understandings, but you'll come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. You'll also see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now, tonight it's my pleasure to welcome Clayton John Anger. From being a mergers and acquisitions tax specialist, he is now a sought-after consultant and speaker working in the UK and internationally, where he helps senior leaders and executive teams to transform performance and achieve sustainable growth by unleashing passion, nurturing natural talent, and bringing vitality to the workforce. Based in the UK, Clayton is also an internationally recognized psychic medium, spiritual teacher, and spiritual coach. He works with people from all walks of life, all over the world, and hosts workshops in the UK, USA, Australia, New Zealand, Russia, Denmark, Switzerland, and Germany. Clayton is also a six-time award-winning author of The Ego's Code, an international speaker, and a creative entrepreneur. He has appeared in national magazines like Kindred Spirit, Spirit and Soul Magazine, Yoga Magazine, and Paradigm Shift, just to name a few. During a meditation at Stonehenge, he received clear and detailed guidance about why we experience negativity, the true purpose of ego, and how to be free of it. He found that there is a pattern to our negativity, which he calls the ego's code, and he discovered a way to decipher it, clear out negativity, remove unhelpful habits, change old belief patterns, and restore the soul so that you can live your truth in a life of fun, play, happiness, and fulfillment. And so let me welcome Clayton. Clayton, how are you tonight?
I am fantastic. Thank you, David, for having me on your show. I am so excited to be here.
Oh, well, it's great to have you here. And I love it when people are enthusiastic about their state of being. I think that that's something that we can all aim for. Of course, we live a human experience, and there is such a thing as negativity. What is the purpose of ego, and how does it affect negativity, and how can we be free of negativity?
Oh, wow, that's an enormous question. Okay, so first of all, let's begin with negativity. So first of all, what is the most basic and primary purpose of negativity? And that's ultimately to keep us safe. But that's not the spiritual purpose. You know, one of the challenges in society and in life today is that we've been conditioned over time and generations to ignore our negativity, to sweep it under the carpet, to stuff it down inside us and not actually embrace it. And if I said to all of your listeners, if you imagine the energy it takes to put a rocket into space, if I said to everybody who's listening that you have the same energy as trapped in your lower three energy centers, which you can access through engaging with your negativity and actually transmuting it from something that keeps you stuck in the past or actually can be used as a force for good in your life, you know, what could you actually, you know, create in your life? And so how does this link in with the ego? We're going to jump in straight away, and I love that. So I'm then excited to see where we go. Wherever there is negativity, there is trauma. And wherever there is trauma, there is a tear or a hole in the soul. And all negativity are echoes and whispers from our past and our past lives. And every single time that we experience negativity, we're literally reliving our past in the here and the now. And what that means is that every time we experience negativity, we're not present. We're not engaging in our life. We're actually on automatic pilot. And neuroscience has proven that we actually spend 95% of our time unconscious or on automatic pilot. So if we actually put that into time, you know, there's 24 hours in a day. If I say, okay, you have 8 hours of sleep for one night, that is 16 hours when you're awake. So out of those 16 hours, we go unconscious and go on automatic pilot about 15 hours. So then we're actually only consciously present in our life for 60 minutes. And that's absolutely crazy. So by actually engaging with our negativity and understanding its true purpose, which I'll come to, we can reduce that 15 hours down to 10, down to 5, and ultimately down to 0. And where all this came from in my work was, you're absolutely right, it was about 12 years ago, because my daughter was 2. My wife was away, she was in the US on business, and my guides were poking me to get up and go to Stonehenge. And I said, I didn't want to go to Stonehenge. It's raining, it's miserable, there's so much resistance, but you know, I have a pattern of going through the resistance. So I wanted to, so eventually I got up as I wanted to go and go through the resistance, and I drove to Stonehenge, and I was there, and I literally sat in the rain with my umbrella, and all of a sudden I was in a meditative state, and I went through this portal, and I was surrounded by master druids, and they just gave me 3 words: the ego teacher. And then I came back out, and then literally every single day for, you know, months that followed, I was given other bits and pieces of information. And it was like a jigsaw. I put this jigsaw piece together. And eventually I put the jigsaw together to understand the true purpose of negativity. And wherever we have a challenge, wherever we have a problem in our life, a hardship, you know, there is a pattern to it. And that pattern can be deciphered, and that pattern is called the ego's code. So I mentioned that where there is negativity, there is trauma. Where there is trauma, there's a hole in the soul. So what do I mean? What I mean by that is this, is we're all on a soul's journey. And which means that we've got 2, 3, 4 major lessons that we need to learn. And so mine, for example, are around accepting love and worthiness in certain areas in my life. And so what happens is when we experience trauma, it creates a tear in the soul, and part of our soul leaves and goes to a place in consciousness where we feel safe. And then what happens is this, is that that leaves a hole or a void, and all the negativity associated with that trauma actually goes into that hole or that void and gets sealed off. Then at the point of incarnation, when we're born, it comes a little bit of the controversial bit. Our higher self, which is our true self that's omnipresent and is everywhere and communicates to us through love and kindness and gratitude, splits into 2. 99% of it remains the higher self, just keeping the numbers clean and tidy. And 1% of it forms the ego. So the higher self and the ego self are actually one and the same thing. What happens then is the ego gets programmed with all the negativity associated with that trauma, and then it acts like a beacon, and it sends out a high-frequency sort of sound into the universe or into the quantum field, like boop, 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 attracting to us the situations, circumstances, and people so that we can learn. And the whole purpose about learning from our negativity is so that we can clear out the void and allow the piece of soul to come back so that we can heal. And then what happens is as we heal, the ego shrinks and reconnects with the higher self. Now, but part of the challenge is, as I said, we've been conditioned by society to ignore it, to stuff it down, to sweep it under the carpet. But spiritually, negativity is not negative. It is actually something that we need to learn from, pay attention to, and it can actually help us to create real magic in our life.
Well, if the ego represents such a small percentage of our total self, why does it seem to be so controlling to us?
Because we give it control.
And
it, you know, we wherever you put your attention is where you flow your energy. Where you flow your energy is where you put your power and your time. And wherever you put your time is literally the life that you are creating. And, you know, and if you think about it from a neuroscience perspective, if we're spending 15 hours of our time a day unconscious, reliving our negativity over and over and over and over again, then no wonder we get caught up or we're not paying attention because we're actually not consciously awake and present in our life. And there was a survey that was done, I think it was in 2005, by the National Science Foundation, which said they did a survey on how many thoughts or some research on how many thoughts we have in a day. And they came up with 60,000. I actually think it's a lot more than that. And the 60,000 thoughts, they say, well, the majority of them are repetitive, which makes sense given the fact that 95% of our time we're unconscious. And then about 80, 90% of them are negative. So, but people say, well, you should think positively. But the challenge is positive thinking doesn't work. Because when we try to think positively, what's happening is that we're focusing on what is missing in our life rather than embracing with gratitude and love what we've actually got in our life. And so actually what happens is then we send out a signal into the universe or into the quantum field, whatever label you want to call it, or the divine spiritual system, and that lack. And the universe just responds. So whatever you send out, the universe will bring you back. And so if we're sending out, I need more money because I don't have enough, or I really want love, but I don't feel I deserve it, then the universe is going to keep responding and sending you back exactly what you're sending out, which is often what we don't want. So that's what happens. We put all of our attention into something that is actually has a perception. We have a perception that we are in control when actually we're not in control at all.
So is gratitude the answer to embracing and enhancing positivity in our lives?
Well, gratitude is just part of the answer. You know, what we need to do is to focus on our energy. You know, we are energy beings. We're high-frequency beings. And we ourselves are sending out a signal into the universe. And the more gratitude we can experience, the more love we can experience, the more kindness we can experience, then we're actually going to start to attract and bring to us the things that we actually want to create. As I said, it's only part of the answer, because wherever we have judgment, wherever we have blame, wherever we have any form of negativity, we are ultimately giving our power away to something that we perceive to ultimately be real. But it's just energy. Negativity is just energy. And all energy can be transmuted into something that will either that can serve us. So we either give it all of our energy and immerse ourselves in it, which means that we can be consumed by the negativity and get lost in it, or we can actually engage with it and separate ourselves from it and learn from it and use it as a fuel for success.
That makes sense. So how do we recognize the things that we keep doing wrong, and how can we fix that?
Oh, that's really easy. I can absolutely share that with you. So there is a four-step process that I talk about in my book, The Ego's Code. And step one is all about awareness. Now, the reason it's all about awareness is this, is when we experience negativity, we are literally being triggered unconsciously back to the past, which means that we are reliving our past in the here and the now, which means that we're not present. So what that also means then is, how do I then become present in my life? Well, first of all, we need to understand what's going on in the physical body. So when we are being triggered by our negativity, we've gone back to the past and we're reliving our past in the here and the now. But what's actually happening in the physical body is we're in stress. So we are filling our body with negative chemicals. Our brain has gone into high beta brain waves, which actually means that we can't think clearly. Our breathing and our respiratory system actually goes up to the top of our chest, or we actually start to hold our breath. And if we're not oxygenating our body, we can't oxygenate our brain, which means we can't change our brain waves. So what you have to do is have awareness. So the more aware that people can be of the negativity, the more present they will become. So step one is awareness creates presence. And what I say to people is this: when you go to bed tonight, and before you close your eyes and go to sleep, just notice how you feel. And if you feel joyful and grateful and wonderful, then go to sleep. But if you feel angry, or if you feel sad, or if you feel frustrated, or you're beating yourself up because you haven't done something that you wanted to do or you promised somebody else to do, then what you're about to do is go to sleep with your past. And you know, and that doesn't serve you. So what it actually does, it consolidates all the neural pathways in the brain. It consolidates the chemicals in the body. And, you know, and that's when we start to create dis-ease in the body. Now, if you go one step further and say, okay, in tomorrow morning when you wake up, notice how you feel. And if you feel joyful, then, you know, go about your day. But if you wake up feeling angry, sad, frustrated, confused, you know, cheesed off, whatever that thing is for you, you're about to take your past into your day and keep reaffirming your past over and over and again, which means you're not present. And so you'll just keep creating the same things over and over again. Quantum physics has proven that we experience wholeness 7.8 times per second, not per minute, not per hour, not per day, not per month, nor per year, per second, which means that we are always in creation. So if we're always in creation, we really need to be clear on our energy and how we're feeling and what's going on within us. And so step one is awareness creates presence. Step two is, once you become present and you lock yourself in, you then need to acknowledge the negativity. And then you need to engage with it. And what I mean by acknowledge is you need to recognize and own that you're angry. You need to recognize and own that you're sad or frustrated, you know, or something is not right for you in your life. Because negativity is a communication from you to you that something is not quite right or how you think it should be. And so you need to pay attention to it. And so you acknowledge it and then you engage with it. Part of the challenge with the human condition is that we become immersed in it. And if we're in it, we're in stress. And if we're in stress, we're experiencing high beta brainwaves and then we can't breathe clearly. And so if we're in it, we're not going to be able to resolve the issues that are going on. And so we need to step out of it. So the awareness creating presence starts to do that. Then you acknowledge to yourself, I'm sad, I'm frustrated, I'm angry, I need to do something about that. Own it, and then you engage with it. Now you can, in the beginning, engage with it yourself. So what I will do is I will get a chair out or imaginary chair next to me, and I'll engage with it. I'll say, fear, you know, you've got energy that I need. You've got power that I need for creation and taking care of my life. You know, what is going on for me right now? What's going on for you? You know, tell me. And then I will have a journal and I will just write down everything that's going on for me. And as I'm writing these things down, I'm clearing out the negativity through my lymphatic system as well, just through writing and engaging with it. And then step three is about taking action. It's about acting for your highest good. Now, it's, and what this means is if someone doesn't like what you say or what you do, what that, you know, that's their stuff, and you know, and they're having their journey, and you need to focus on you and their and your journey. So what that means is that you don't do things out of obligation. You don't do things because you think you should. That's, you know, that's actually not being of service. That's being of disservice to you and actually the other person, because really you're, you know, you're lying to that person and you're lying to yourself, and that's a very low energy vibration. And so what you need to do is you need to honor yourself, you need to stand in your power, and you need to act for your highest good. You can invite people on the journey with you and say, okay, you know, come on, if you think that we can resolve this, or if you think, you know, if you want to come with me, that's fantastic. But if they're not ready, wherever they are on their journey, that's okay. You just, you know, leave them where they are and they'll find their own way. And here's what people don't get, is that when you make a decision for your highest good, provided it is for your highest good, then you're automatically making a decision for the other person's highest good. And which is actually, you know, a really good thing, and it actually honors the soul within you and the soul within the other person. And so then you have step four, which is about acceleration. And the way you accelerate the results is through meditation. And I mentioned earlier about step one around awareness. So the reason for meditation is meditation enables you to engage with the divine you. It enables you to engage with the purest expression of yourself, which is the higher self. And that's where the answers are. The ego, as I said, contains the learning that you need to learn, but the higher self contains the answers. The ego communicates through the mind. The higher self communicates through the heart. But it's not one or the other. It's both. They're a partnership. They work in tandem. And part of the challenge with when people are trying to resolve issues in their life is that their head starts to rule their heart, or their heart starts to rule their head. It is not one or the other. It's a partnership. They must work together. That's why we are called a human being. The human element represents the ego self. The being element represents the higher self. And when we honor the divine within us, then we're able to experience our best self, and then creations start to actually come to us rather than us having to go after and hunt for them. But the important thing around meditation is it should change your energy. So if tonight when you go to sleep and you're feeling a bit down or sad or crappy, then one of the ways in which you can change your energy is to meditate. And, you know, and to find, you know, a really nice guided meditation, or just put on some gentle music in the background and just close your eyes and just go inward and focus on gratitude for the day. And just that gratitude for the day will start to change your energy. Or keep a gratitude journal next to your bed and just start to immerse yourself in what you're grateful for. And then in the morning, if you wake up feeling negative, then meditate and change your energy. You should notice the difference between how you feel before meditation and how you feel after meditation. And one of the meditations that I do, you know, most mornings is by a friend of mine, Dr. Joe Dispenza, which is his morning meditation. It's 17 to 20 minutes long. It completely changes your energy. But what it also does, it enables you to start creating your day consciously. So it reduces those 15 hours where on automatic pilot maybe down to 14 or 13 or 12, so that you can actually be more present.
That sounds good. A lot of good suggestions there. Just to let the callers know, we do have a lot of you on the line, and we'll take as many calls as we can, but I'm going to continue to talk with Clayton for the next 15 or 20 minutes. So please be patient, and we will try to get to your calls. I can't promise that we'll get to everybody. There are quite a few callers on the line. So, Clayton, I'm wondering when you realized you had psychic mediumship abilities.
Okay, that's a great question. I became aware that something was going on at the age of 7. And the reason I became aware of that is I was visited by spirits almost every night, and I had a little Norman boy that would sit outside my bedroom door, and he would watch over me and honor me and keep me safe. And I now know it was about safety. But when you see spirits moving around, it scares a 7-year-old, especially when maybe you have parents who don't understand and you don't feel comfortable going and speaking to them about it. So I remember very consciously closing it down, saying, no, I don't want that. And then I then embarked upon a very human existence. I trained as an accountant and tax consultant. I specialized in mergers and acquisitions. And it was a very egoic existence for a number of years. I didn't really understand, you know, what I know now. And it was then about 15 years ago when I really started to do readings privately. And then when I met my wife, she really encouraged me to go out more into the world. And so I started to make myself more and more and more and more public. And so, you know, I now, you know, read for people all over the world. And if people want to book a reading with me, my diary is in the top right-hand corner of my website. You can just go on and book a time slot with me. And I love it. And the reason I love it is because it's the greatest gift that anybody can give you when they trust you with their energy. When they trust me to tune into them and to connect in with their energy, I just am in awe and appreciation and gratitude for, you know, for that incredible gift. And all I want to do is just serve them at the highest level for the hour that we're together. And it's one of the things that I absolutely adore doing, you know, in my day-to-day.
What is your website, Clayton?
My website is very simple. It's my name. It's Clayton John Ainger, A-I-N-G-E-R. John is spelled J-O-H-N.com.
Okay, thank you for that. Now, I've heard it said that we all are psychic to greater or lesser extents. How can we learn to enhance our gifts?
Ironically, through awareness. I was in Toronto just a couple of weekends ago, and I was teaching people how to read. And because I'm becoming very, very, very busy in terms of my speaking engagements and my coaching and my mentoring and my events and things like that. And so I wanted to help people to develop their own ability to be able to read. And all of it is about awareness and about trusting you and, you know, and trusting that you can, you know, you can engage with your energy and the energy of everybody else's. So, and it's about listening to the quiet voice that's within, or when you're walking down the street and, you know, you see the same number over again, or if you have a certain animal that crosses your path, you know, on a regular occasion. You know, I remember I was running an event in Glastonbury in the UK, and it was one of my 3-day events, and this lady came in on the last day and said, "You're freaking me out." And I said, "What do you mean I'm freaking you out?" And she said, "At the same time, in the morning, in the same location, the same reindeer crossed my path, and it stopped right in front of my car at the same time on each day, and I needed to pay attention. And then there was certain music on each of the 3 days that really, you know, compounded the message that was coming from the deer for her." And so we need to be paying attention to these things that are around us. Or if you have a fear of a certain animal, I do a lot of shamanic work, and, you know, I love animal spirits. And so if you have a certain fear of a certain animal, then pay attention to that, because you know, there's a very important spirit that's with you and asking you, are you ready to learn from that spirit? Are you ready to receive the medicine from that spirit? Or if you've always had an affinity with giraffes or hummingbirds or, you know, dogs or cats, there's a reason for that. And it's about paying attention to that. So start to raise your awareness to what's going on around you. Start to trust your intuition and act in accordance with your intuition. And all these different types of steps will help you to expand like your spiritual radio, because we are high frequency beings. And what I would invite people to do at the end of the show is go and stand in front of a mirror. And when you stand in front of a mirror, see beyond your skin. See beyond your muscles and your bones. See beyond all your organs in your body and your cells. See beyond the molecules and the atoms. And beyond that, you are energy. And we are energy beings. And we are always in constant frequency, sending out vibration. And with what vibration that we're sending out, we are attracting back to us. And if you can grasp that, then it will be very easy for you to start to access the connection with the divine. But you are always, every single person who is listening to this show is always in direct connection to the divine. How people respond to that is dependent upon what is going on with their ego's code and in their life. And, but, you know, please, if everyone is listening, know that you are a divine being and the divine is with you and you are always connected to the divine. And so you can hear the divine and access divine and work with the divine. You know, you just need to work with your energy to be able to do that more and more and more acutely.
Tell us more about the higher self.
Okay, so the higher self is ultimately the true self. It is the greatest expression of who we are. And it is omnipresent and it is everywhere. It communicates to you through the heart. It communicates to you through joy and wonder and happiness and love and kindness and gratitude. And it represents 99.999999999999% of who we are. And so we are always connected to it. And yet we don't give it the attention and the love that it gives to us. But it flows through us. It flows around us. It is us. And we often, you know, go about focusing on what's missing as opposed to really connecting with the higher self, you know, the divine self within.
Well, is there anything else that you'd like to say about your book, The Ego's Code, before we start taking calls?
Yeah, I would love to. Thank you. So The Ego's Code, it's an important book for people, and I wanted to write it for everybody. And I've had teenagers read it. I've had, you know, everybody from all different walks of life read it. And, you know, the feedback from people is that they, you know, they really engage with the book. They love the book. It's split into three sections. The first section is all about raising your awareness, by really understanding what is going on within you and all around you. And, you know, I wrote the book from three focus points and standpoints. The first point from about spiritual perspective, because we are spiritual beings. The second from a psychological perspective, because it's really important for us as the human element of who we are to understand the psychological impact that our environments have upon us and what control we give that, you know, and also this, how we impact others from a psychological perspective. And the third piece is around neuroscience and helping people to have a very basic understanding about what actually is going on within the brain. Because a lot of people say, well, I can't change. This is the way that I am. And that's factually, you know, incorrect. Because neuroplasticity has proven that we can the brain is plastic, and we can literally unwire our brain and rewire it. And so, you know, the four-step process, which I shared earlier, which I go into in more detail in the book, centers around that and enables us to actually unwire and rewire to be able to switch off genes in the body that don't serve us and switch on genes in the body that do serve us. And so raising your awareness and understanding what's really going on is the first part. The second part is all about aligning to your truth and how you go about deciphering your code. And there are 16 exercises within the book. And what I recommend to people is just flick through the book. I wrote the book, you know, in a way that people can just dip into it. They can check it out. They can test out different pages. They can just do the exercises if they want. You know, it's your book, and I want it to be your book. I wrote it. I channeled it from the divine, so it's there from a place of service. And then part three is all about living your truth and creating the new you that is there. Now, one of the things I did off the back of the book, first of all, the book is in paperback. It's available on Amazon.com. It's an ebook. It's also was available on Amazon.com. It's also an audiobook, and I recorded the audiobook because I wanted to put my energy into the audiobook. And so that's available on Audible. And so what I wanted to do with the book is I wanted to support people in their journey and to help to fast track their success. So I actually then created a meditation to go with it, which is called the Ego's Code Meditation. And that is a very powerful process for people about understanding the learning from the negativity, releasing the negativity, and actually receiving a soul retrieval, which heals their soul. And the more you do it, you know, the more congruent you will become, the more authentic you'll become, the more integrity you will have, the more aligned your truth will have. And a friend of mine, we did a bit of a beta test around it, and he did the Ego's Code for 30 days straight. And he said it was just phenomenal, the results that he started to create in his life around it. You know, one lady sent me a message through Facebook to say that the Ego's Code meditation was the one thing that kept her sane through some very traumatic times in her life. And because she was able to engage with negativity safely, she was able to go through the resistance safely, she was able to release the negativity and actually transmute it in a way that now serves her. So, you know, I love the Ego's Code. I love the Ego's Code meditation. But you don't have to do that, you know. You can do other forms of meditation. For myself, I do the Ego's Code meditation. I do Dr. Joe Dispenza's meditations. I will do Tom Kenyon's meditations. I tune in to me and what I need in the moment and to take care of me. And my whole ethos for 2018 is around self-care, divine love, and community. And my events, which I'm doing across the U.S. and Canada and Europe, they all center around those themes to be able to help people to be the best that they can be and live more joy in their life. And you know, and I'm always amazed on my weekend events how far people will go to push themselves to experience the best of who they are and to let go of these things that have just kept them stuck and trapped in the past. Because the one core lesson that I learned was, you know, I've been depressed in my 20s, I've been depressed in my 30s, I've sabotaged nearly every area of my life, and I wanted to know why I was doing that to myself. And I realized in hindsight, I didn't have to live there. I didn't have to be there as long as I was. And I could have taken better care of myself. That's why I wrote the book.
That's beautiful. Well, let's take some calls. I'm going to suggest to the callers that you ask for advice about stumbling blocks or matters related to the spirit. Clayton is not going to do readings on the show today. You can do that with him privately if you choose to do so. Donna is our first caller, and Donna, you're live.
Oh, thank you, Dave. Hi, Clayton.
Hey, Donna, how are you?
I look forward to getting your book. Great. I look forward to getting your book because I have had a lot of trauma in my life. And, yeah, so, and I do just the opposite. When anything comes up negative, I just take it all in. And it's like I'm almost catatonic.
Yeah, you know, that's often what a lot of people will do. And, you know, I trust that after you've listened to the call and, you know, and you've read my book, or just go and get the Ego's Code meditation, and next time you're feeling that way, just sit and listen to that, and that will take you out of the negativity and enable you to actually engage with it.
Yeah, I look forward to your book. I'm definitely going to get it. What I wanted to ask you is, my mom's on the other side, and I get messages from her in her voice in the middle of my head, and she said, like, you're going to be rewarded. Should I believe this, that what I'm receiving from someone on the other side?
Yes, absolutely. And you have to trust that. You know, your mother will communicate with you in a way that you understand. Like my nanny Reen, bless her, she passed away 6 years ago, and I'm very fortunate that, you know, when I'm driving my car, I often feel her in the seat next to me, and I will talk to her, and she will give me very clear guidance, and if I don't follow it, it comes back to bite me in the backside. And when I do, you know, I've just learned to trust that over the years. And so, absolutely, if you're getting messages from your mom, then ask her to share more with you, or, you know, if you want to question it, then say, okay, give me a sign, Mum, so I know that it's you. But, you know, I know lots and lots and lots and lots of people from different walks of life who regularly get communications from the other side. They trust it, they act in accordance with it, and it helps them in their life in some way. So absolutely trust it.
Yeah, and then also, I just want to bring this up. I had two dreams with my mother, and we're celebrating with such joy. I mean, I don't think I ever experienced that much joy. It was the, you know, and she was there, and I mean, it was just unbelievable. Is that the celebration of what it's like when you're on the other side, or is that celebration that's coming on this to this world?
It can be both. It can be both. Because, you know, sometimes, you know, I've known people who've had, you know, very challenging relationships with parents when they've been alive. And then when they've crossed over, because they've reconnected with the divine self. Because if you have challenges with parents or friends, it's, you know, those souls have come through to do that as a gift to enable you to be stretched, to be challenged, to rise up. So, but part of the challenge is we make it bad and wrong and those kinds of things. But actually, if we can start to see it as a gift and, you know, and absorb, you know, and see the perfection within the imperfection, you know, that is a beautiful thing to do. And so with your mum being on the other side, completely connected with her divine self and feeling whole, she is going to be in a, you know, very, very joyous place. And so that joy is going to, you know, will come through in your dreams. And it may actually show up, or she may be communicating to you, say, look, you know what, you can feel this way, not just in your dream state, but in your waking world. So, and, you know, there are opportunities, potentials, and wishes, you know, in the universe that are infinite. So, you know, and so you can create that joy, and that's a message from your mom saying, look, you know, communicate with me and observe your life and say, okay, how can I bring more joy into my life? So I think that's a really beautiful, kind message from your mum on the other side. And I would be wanting to find ways in which I could honor her and honor you at the same time by bringing that joy into your life.
Oh, I'm going to do that because I don't ask, and I'm going to start doing that. Wow, this has been so helpful. And yeah, I look forward to your book, Clayton. I want to, you'd be able to talk to others, and thank you very much.
You are very welcome. Thank you, Donna.
Donna, thank you for calling in and being so patient. I think that a lot of the callers were expecting readings and they've dropped away, but you hung in there, and thank you for that. We're going to talk a little bit about thoughts and feelings, and perhaps we'll get into manifestation, if that's okay with you, Clayton. Donna, I'm going to say God bless you for now, and I'll look forward to greeting you on another show.
Thank you. God bless you.
Thank
too,
you.
Clayton.
So, Clayton, I have a seer that comes on my show by the name of Ada Marie, and she always talks about how thoughts are things. What is your opinion on that?
I agree. Thoughts are things, but my question is, what comes before the thought? And it's energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so for example, my body, we are quantum beings, okay? We are omnipresent and we are everywhere. And my body communicates to me 3 months in advance if I'm going to have any challenging issues that may come up or contract issues that come up around money or within my consultancy. And I don't think that. You know, so my body gives me various different signals ahead of time. And so, you know, so I do agree, you know, thoughts are things. And, you know, but what I would always like to do is manage my energy before I get to the thought. But if I want to change something in my life, you need to change your energy to change your life. And so if I change my thoughts or I change my feelings, then ultimately I can go on and change my energy as well. So everything is entwined, but our thoughts, our feelings, our actions, our reactions, all those things actually shape the experiences that we have in our life. And then our experiences in our life actually then go on to shape our personality. And then our personality actually then goes on to shape the way which we live our life, either say through love or anger or disruption. And then how we actually live our life goes on to actually shape our life. And then the cycle continues. So how we live our life shapes our thoughts, feelings, actions, reactions, so on and so forth, and the stories we tell ourselves. So thoughts are things, but it's what comes before the thought is what I'm more interested in. And, you know, and in my personal experience, it's energy. So if I've missed the energy piece, then I will then go to the thought. And if I've missed the thought piece, I will then go to the feeling. Everything is feedback. And so there's a story I love to share. A friend of mine is a lady called Diane Hunter, and Diane is an equestrian. And one of the greatest gifts that she ever gave me was when I was in Switzerland, and she said, would I like to come and play with some horses? And I said, I would love to do that. Anyway, she went and found a farm locally, and she'd never met these horses before, and she stepped into the ring with these horses. And they just started to dance for her. It just completely blew my mind. I was just in complete awe, especially she'd never met them before. And one of the things she said is that horses sense and see and feel energy. They are one of the most divine being creatures on the earth, and they don't have an ego or anything like that. And so it was then my turn to get into the ring. And I was really excited, but also had a bit of an attitude about it. Say, oh, yeah, I'm going to get the horses to come to me. I'm going to be fantastic at this. And, you know, and how many times do we try to force something to happen rather than just surrendering and using our power and allowing it to come to us? And it was amazing. I jumped in the ring, and these horses literally ran away from me. And when it ran away from me, I obviously chased it. And Diane said, no, stop. She said, "What?" And she said to me, "What are you afraid of? The horses are picking up on your fear." And I said, "I'm not afraid of anything." She said, "Just stop. Just ground yourself in." And I grounded myself in. I closed my eyes, and you know, awareness creates presence. So I wanted to understand the awareness, and through my awareness, I realized that it wasn't fear; it was guilt. And the guilt was centered around my daughter. 12 months earlier, Isabel, my daughter, she had fallen off of a horse, gone underneath the horse and got trampled and broke a leg. And I was in like the house watching, you know, not our house, but where she goes riding. I was inside and I watched this all happen. It's like in slow motion. and I couldn't get out there fast enough to save her, you know. And I clearly created some guilt. So the awareness created presence. I then acknowledged it, and then I engaged with it. And the engaging with it enabled me to start to release it. And then I needed to act for my highest good, so honoring myself and, you know, coming up with some actions that I was going to take once I got back home. And when I did that, the horses came to me, and they danced with me. And so what I learned in that session with Diane is about feedback. You know, we are always in creation, and we're always receiving feedback, and we don't pay attention to it. And it's really important for us to, the more conscious we can become, the more feedback we will see, which means that we'll be able to engage and change our life in the moment. And we get feedback so that we can change our energy, and it's the energy that comes before the thought.
How can we channel our thoughts to bring about the things that we desire?
Okay. First of all, you know, you need to, I keep coming back to awareness and observation, but you need to own your feelings. So if you want to be able to create more money in your life, for example, you need to engage with the feeling of lack, if that's what's experienced, that's what you're experiencing. So, for example, in my own life, I remember when I started my consultancy and I was charging myself at like $250 a day, and I felt so bad about charging that. You know, all the worth issues, my relationship with money all came pouring out. And I needed to engage with it. I needed to understand what was going on for me within that. And I went from feeling of pain and anxiety to feeling actually peace and calm. And then when I put my fees up later to $500, I then went, you know, I noticed the anxiety again and the pain again. I thought, okay, I need to engage with it again because I needed to change my energy because, you know, I need to be comfortable and peaceful and happy with fees, for example, that I'm charging, which is linked to the value. And then I noticed it again at $750, $1,000, $2,500, $5,000, and there, you know, I charge myself a lot more. And I'm very, very, very comfortable with that. I recognize my value. I own my value. But every now and again, I'll get triggered by various things around, for example, around money. And the meditation that I use around that to change my energy around money is Tom Kenyon's Planetary Meditation. It's on YouTube. It's an amazing meditation. It's 31 minutes, and it literally changes my energy in the moment. And so then I'm sending out a different frequency. And so you need to change your energy around the things you want to create. If there's something missing and you feel bad or wrong or sad or anxious or angry about it, that's not going to create what it is you want to create. It's just going to create more of the sadness, the fear, the anger, the frustrations, and that kind of thing. So you need to change your energy. And you should get feedback in the moment. So, for example, we had a corporate client that we were having a few problems with getting them to pay our bills. And I was getting agitated by it. And I thought, okay, in this state, this is not going to get them to pay my bills. Because I went into a state of mind. I felt all the cortisol flying through my body. I had high beta brainwaves that are flying. And I thought, okay, I need to go and change my energy. I went into a 31-minute meditation of Tom Kenyon. I came out of that meditation, and my email went bing, bing, bing into my inbox. And confirmation of payment. So you should get feedback almost instantly or sort of, you know, within 24, 48 hours of the change. So if something's not showing up in your life, it's because your energy is not associated with it. You know, and so it's about making sure your energy is aligned to your thoughts. So your thoughts will send the signal out and the feelings will draw it back. That's a quote from my friend Dr. Joe Dispenza. So what you think, you send out, and what you draw back is what you're feeling. And so your thoughts and your feelings need to be aligned. And when they are, then you'll create whatever you want to create.
That makes perfect sense. I think of an example in my own life. I am an author, and I finally obtained an agent for a series of books that are about a naughty nun. who teaches classes in advanced holiness. She likes her bourbon and her Marlboros, and all the characters in the book are flawed, but deliciously so, lots of humor. At any rate, I've experienced frustration in my past around how long it's taking to get this series off the ground, but I don't believe that God would have given me the inspiration to create 21 books in the series if there was not some higher purpose for that. And so I own my frustration and I let it go, and I just envision that my books are going to reach an audience someday.
And that's beautiful. And they will. They absolutely will.
No, thank you for that. I appreciate the affirmation. I wanted to ask you another question because you were talking about things that repeat themselves almost like coincidences, and I know that you believe there are no accidents or coincidences in life, but yeah. I get repeating numbers many, many times during the day, and the numbers that show up are 33 and 44. Can you say anything about that?
It's about noticing the signs that are going on and finding out what those numbers mean to you. For me personally, I don't know anything about numerology, but you know, numerology is one route that you can go. You can look at them from an angel numbers perspective. I would always use them during Virtue's angel numbers to get some messages from that. But then I look at the message in context with my whole life and what's going on for me in that moment. And you know, because I there are no accidents, you know, there are no coincidences, you know, everything happens for a reason, and it's all feedback as well. So it's about really paying attention and saying, okay, well, in the past I used to get to 4, 5, 6 things, you know, 4, 5, 6 occasions when, you know, say, you know, 5:55, or you know, I'd wake up at 5:55 in the morning, or I'd look at my clock and it was 5:55 in the evening. And when I was a lot younger, I wouldn't pay any attention to it. But then it became so significant, you know, when I noticed that 6 times, okay, this is going to be happening for a reason. Now I get it at, you know, I would say 1.5 times. If I see it once, I start to, you know, my eyes will perk up. If I catch a glimpse of it as it's approaching the second time, I go, right, okay, what do I need to know about that? And in my experience, when I ignore it, it comes back to bite me. Big time, because I find myself sliding into the ego's playground, and the ego's playground goes, okay, ego says, you know, if you want to play, let's play, you know, I'm going to push you, I'm going to get you to learn rapidly, which is what, you know, when we experience negativity constantly over and over and over and over again, we get caught up in the ego's playground, and that's when it can become painful and then hard to get out of, but you can get out of it through the same 4-step process.
Well, thank you for that. And it's amazing, but we've come to the end of the hour, and I'm so glad that you joined us today.
Oh, I got that flew by. That was amazing. Thank you so much for having me, and thank you to everybody who's listening. I really do appreciate that. It's just been wonderful. Thank you.
You're welcome. So we've been talking with Clayton today, who's the author of The Ego's Code, and he also is a psychic medium. So if you'd like his book, check out Amazon.com. And if you'd like a private reading, he's on the World Wide Web, Clayton John Ainger. That's AINGER.com. And for now, we're going to come to a close. So let's pause and reflect upon the idea that we are united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing of separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience when we let it be. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize. Thank you, Clayton.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me. And again, thank you to everybody who's listening.
God bless everyone.